Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day, Lord, and we start a year and we end a year, and God's not come back for the church. So as we finish this year out, we hope our heart will be afresh for a new year. Lord, as we go into it expecting you at the same time, being occupied with that which you called us to do, in turn that we be about our daily tasks, but we not forget the call that you put on our hearts as individuals to make up the church, to represent your kingdom in this world. This is not our home. We're just passing through here, Father, and therefore we're representing as ambassadors in this country the kingdom of God. And Father, it's so important to understand, to find my position there and utilize it best for the leadership of the Holy Spirit as possible. And so it is for us all. Help us today in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, to start, we take your Bible and turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and then we're going to Matthew chapter 13, and then we'll pick up the service at that time. In Genesis chapter 1, I want to read down about verse 9 through 12. And then we're going to Matthew chapter 13 and read a few verses. The scripture simply says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said," now watch this, folks, and get something today. If you're a farmer, you want to understand, if you ever planted a seed of any kind, you want to understand what is happening here when God set forth this in motion back at the beginning of time. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed," circle that word if you hadn't, "and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought grass and herbs yielding seed," there it is again, "after his kind, and the tree yielding fruits, whose seed," there's again, "was in itself, and after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning was the third day." Now, I want you to note here what's going on. Then we go to Matthew 13. He set forth in the beginning, he set up a situation that had to do with planting of seed. In seed, he gave life. That seed had to be put in a certain situation in the ground for it to ever germinate and bring forth what was needed with its kind. In other words, I don't know where God, I know this, the seed that he spoke, the seed here, when he created, he may have created to start with the seed already blooming, whatever it was. But he took the seed and he, in making that seed, gave that seed a characteristics of its own. And when that seed is in the right environment, it will produce more than the seed. It is in something that God has set forth that he spoke life in that seed. But that seed can sit on a shelf somewhere or another and never do anything unless it's put in the proper situation that it's made for. In this case, would be the ground. Certain things happen in the ground that cause that seed to germinate and bring forth, and notice it says, after its own kind. If that was a peach seed, it produced peach. If that was an apple seed, it produced apples. And of course, peach seed only has one seed. Apple seed may have more. If it was a watermelon, whatever it was, tree, whatever it was, as far as a seed is concerned, it would produce after its own kind. Now I want you to turn with me to Matthew 13, some 4,000 years later, and the Lord Jesus Christ now is speaking to the disciples as we read in chapter 13, verses down about 1 through 16. And he said, "The same day Jesus went out of the house of the, and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude would gather together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood at the shore on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some seeds fell on stony place, where they had not much root, much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And then the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto us parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, something has to happen to an individual in this earth as a human being for them to understand the teaching that Jesus said here, which is a mystery. You can't understand it by yourself. It's not revelation you get outward or inward. It's something that you have to be taught inward. You hear it, and therefore that we understand it's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason God gave us His Spirit, so that when we hear things about God, who've been born into the family of God, it doesn't just come because we memorize something. It comes because inside there's a teaching of God's Word to our heart about what it means. And that's what Jesus is doing here. The Holy Spirit does for us exactly what Jesus is doing here in telling these disciples about this seed sowing. And notice He said, because I speak to them a parable, because they see and see not, and hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. Then He said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. But this people's heart is waxed gross. Notice the people that hear and cannot see, and hearing yet do not hear. He said, These are people whose heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they are closed, lest they at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, I want to speak to you tonight, or this morning, about something I've been looking at, and first of the year, I'm going to give a new way that people who will help us try to win souls, something new that we in turn I want to do to get the gospel out here in our vicinity. When it comes to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the world, we have means of doing that through the way, our ways. But when it comes to individually knocking on doors, all of this works together. And I call this, we're God's seed sowers. But the seed that God is talking about is the incorruptible Word of God. And He tells Peter to write, or the Holy Spirit did, that it's the incorruptible Word of God that is the seed of God. And that seed is His absolute Word. And it's His Word, when it's got out, that does what needs to be done to the hearts of people when they move in their direction. Now, Mark 4, 1 through 20, and Luke 8, 4 through 15 also gives this same story. But as we go through, I want you to think with me a few moments. Today, it can be very discouraging to any Christian due to our culture seemingly turning against the Christian faith to try to go talk to someone about their soul. It seems like everybody has a defense nowadays to try to counteract and change the course in what we're trying to do. Then should we step back and say, that's all right, let's stay in the walls of these churches and let people go to hell? No. God has given us an understanding of what this seed does. And here's an in-depth study, I believe, that would help us. It seems that every Bible-believing church all across this country is having to deal with attendance and financial difficulties of all kinds of problems because the seed trying to get out has been turned down and other things have been replaced. Many people are deflated. Many people are defeated in an attempt to give up. In this parable, Jesus gives us a picture of what is going on to encourage us who understand that God has given us a commission as an ambassador of Christ in this world to tell people about God's plentiful plan of salvation. And so in this parable, Jesus gives a picture of what's going on to encourage us in the midst of our discouragement. Jesus shows us that our work will not be in vain, even though sometimes it looks like it is. That's right, my brother. It will not be in vain. Because God has promised to bless His Word in someone's heart until the last heart doesn't receive it. And one day, they're going to be a triggering of the trump of God and going to be the voice of the archangel, and the church is going out of here in a split second. And then we're going to see things begin to take a turmoil at the end. Jesus here uses agriculture metaphor as the vehicle for His parable in verse 3 through 9. He uses the image of a sower going out into the sea, telling us whether the sea, where the sea falls and what happens when that seed falls in certain places and what the result will be. So we will not be discouraged, because he tells us, though he used four different types of soil here, setting forth in my heart that 75% of the gospel seed that's sown is not going to do anything much but cause confusion. But I'm glad he says there's one seed that's going to fall on good ground. By the way, the problem here is not the seed. The problem is the ground. That's what Jesus said. The seed will do the same thing in any heart as anyone else, but the ground it falls on. And he gives us this metaphor of what happens to hearts that looks like ground that seed is sown in certain places and get no results from that. And so he later explains the parable in terms of the spiritual realities that it conveys in verse 18 through 23. Now, a Christian farmer understands what it is to pray. I tell you this, when you plant, you pray. A Christian farmer will pray over the seed. He'll pray over the ground. He'll pray over the planting. He'll pray over the ground that it's planted in. He'll pray as it grows. And he'll pray when it comes to the time of the harvest also. You cannot help what a ground, you cannot help what kind of ground that seed will fall on. But you can be sure that if you do not sow the seed in the ground, it will not germinate and it will not grow. And ladies and gentlemen, don't let Satan trick you and I to think that if we don't get this seed out. By the way, God has given his church the authority to use the word of God. And if we don't get this out in our day, God will do it, may take longer. But if we don't get it out, then there's no way in the world people ever know. I don't care what they believe religiously. They will never know what it is to be born again into the family of God. Jesus said, that which is flesh, and that which is spirit, and only the word of God is the incorruptible seed of God can bring change in our hearts from within, so we'll hear what God has to say by his spirit as the word of God is hid in our hearts. So I want you, let's look for just a few minutes. I know this, if I look in Philippians chapter 4 and see what Paul says, he made a statement about this. I know prayer is very important when it comes to us actually being what we need to be before the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says this, be careful for nothing, for in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we look down about verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and also supplication for all saints. I know this, we know what he says in over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, he didn't say if the world, he didn't say if the unsaved, he said if my people, that in our age would be the age of grace, would be God's people who have been born in the family of God. He said if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, watch that, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, there must be some things wrong with us at times, had there not? He says, it's my people. He said, he didn't tell the world. The world needs to get saved. This is not saying anything to those who are unsaved. He's talking to his own people. And he talks about it further. And he said, then that I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I also understand in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, pray without ceasing. Then in verse 18, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So the definition of a parable, as he speaks here in Matthew chapter 13, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, which tells a story using something that we see every day in our life. And what Jesus used here is a seed these people knew, where it be a vineyard or where it be planting corn or wheat or whatever it was. There was a seed involved with it. And they could identify with that in that particular day. It tells the story using something that's used every day. I thought about it, if it happened today, would it be that? Not too many people nowadays understand what it is where our food comes from. Do you know that? You know, somebody has to grow that stuff that comes out of the ground. By the way, Winn-Dixie just don't harvest it themselves. Right? Somebody has to understand that there's somebody put this behind. If Jesus was here today and he started out, I don't know, I'm just hypothetical thinking, I think probably he'd probably use stories about computers in everyday life. There'd be somewhere that he can fix it. But I'm glad I know enough about, as a farm boy being raised, what seed does. And boy, it sure helps me to understand that, because he used seed, a metaphor, as what the Word of God was in people's heart and life. So as I look at this, I'm beginning to see that it looks at, it looks, when I look at the seed, it helps me to see grow into a plant. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he talks about the incorruptible seed. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 2, the latter part of that verse, Solomon said, there is a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So it's in God's plan, design, as we look at life every day, to look at object of growth of a seed as it's planted in good ground and what happens in that seed as it gives what is needed in people's lives. So all seed contains nutrients and energy inside of a hard protected coating. You bury the seed in the ground. And when you do that, ladies and gentlemen, the seed that's in good solid ground, most times soft, warm situation, and studying what happens, it sends out a little root that goes down into the soil first because that's needed to go up. If you don't have the root system, nothing's going to happen to that which comes out of the ground. And then the root starts to drink up the nutrients that are in the soil, and this gives the teeny plant more energy to start growing. Then a teeny stalk starts to reach up out of the ground with the sun shining on the stalk and the nutrition going into the root from the rain and the soil. More roots grow, and the plant begins to thrive towards a harvest according to its seed. That's what God gave us a metaphor about the Word of God. And it has to be planted. Let on the coffee table is not going to do it. Somebody's going to have to read this to someone, and in turn, hopefully, that God will, and know that He will keep His promise, there will be out of 100%, some 25 that's going to fall on good ground. It may get less later, because even that good ground produces different types of fruit, and we'll see that in just a few minutes. So let's look at these four types of fruit real fast like. If some say it said fell by the wayside, Matthew 13:4. Some seeds fell by the wayside when the seed could not take root, and some birds came and ate the seed before it came to function. And here some people hear the truth, Jesus tells us, but their hearts are hardened, and the gospel seed doesn't sink in like it should. And why it's sitting on top of the ground with no soil to recess in, the birds are pictures of Satan who steals the opportunity to them to respond and receive God's word by faith in Matthew 13 and verse 19. No, the sowing of the seed does not happen in a vacuum. It happens in a situation where there is a receiving, and yet if it doesn't receive like good ground, it just lays there. There are forces at work that would hinder the gospel seed from taking root and producing fruit in a heart of belief. This is happening right here in Clayton today. If you go soul winning, you know what I'm talking about. I can remember when you go down Main Street and witness. You can't do it now without a permit. I remember you go by anywhere in this town and knock on doors. You can't go now. Someone will stop you and threaten to arrest you because of it. So well, there's things that's happening in our day that's hindering that seed. Why? That seed will still do good when it falls in the right ground. And there are those who still been saved in the age of grace. And I thank God for that. The hard ground has been plowed or has not been plowed. It hasn't been broken up. So the seed just sits there on the surface and Satan just snatches it away. That's the wayside. The second one, Matthew 13:5, he talks about stony ground. Seedful plants must have roots down in the soil for growth. So it's possible for things to grow on the rocks, and we see that at times, but usually they don't live long. Why? Because there's no settling down of that seed like it should to live. The hard rock blocks the root from growing. So when the sun rises, they're scorched and withered away, according to verse 20, 21, as Jesus interpreted this. So what does this mean spiritually to us? And he tells us, here someone hears the gospel, I mean, receives it with joy, yet the gospel has no root in him or her, but it endures for a while, and then when tribulation or persecution rises because of the word of God, immediately he or she falls away, here habit sets in for the church. And therefore you find those people eventually will disperse because they don't have what's needed that's given from God's word as it's taught in class or taught from the pulpit, wherever, to continue on into not only just trusting Christ to go to heaven, but what we've been seeing now, even the Sunday school, and studying what God has done for us in turn, why we're here to represent Him. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. This is not our home, you're saved. God is preparing a home for us. But He says, while you're here, you're an ambassador to witness to the fact that God's in Christ Jesus reconciling this world unto Himself. And that's where we come in with this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, someone hears the gospel meeting and receives it with joy. These people come into the church and seem very happy for a few months, but their faith has not been taken a deep root in them, so they are not ready to endure hardships or persecutions for the Lord. So they are different, and they act different when trouble comes. And the reason for that is they have the idea, when I get saved, all my problems are going to be solved. I'll tell you this, you may not have the problems you had before you got saved, but you're going to have problems because of God after you get saved. But he said, this world's not going to treat you like you want to be treated if you stand for truth. Because this world is headed in an opposite direction from truth. And truth and error battle each other, and there will always be conflict. And we have to understand, we have to know who we're trusting, why we're trusting, and the scriptures are God. That's when God set up the church. That's when he set it up. In the Apostles, Acts 6, and Deacons, otherwise, he set up the church for the purpose that it would understand there's a way to operate when it comes to this wicked world. And therefore, God can honor that. So here, these people come to the church and seem happy, but all of a sudden, we find on the outside, they may express great enthusiasm, but inward, they do not carefully consider being sold out to the Lord, so they quickly forget what they heard. And I pray many times, God, help me understand this, because this is where weakness comes. And I pray, God, help me with my weakness, that I may exhibit the light that God wants to exhibit through us. So there's some seed fell by the wayside, some fall on the ground. Then notice also in Matthew 13:7, he said, some fall among thorns. The thorn grows up and crowds out the plant. The number one rule about pulling up weeds, I found out many years ago when my dad, we used to go through, you know, I'm sure you did. You can't plow and hoe enough and I hadn't pulled some weeds up once in a while. And I remember we'd go through and start pulling weeds up, and I'd pull some up, but they pop off at the ground. I'd just keep going. He'd say, hey, come back, son. You got to get the root out. If you don't get the root out, you know, you used to pop it off at the ground. It's coming right back. You got to get the root out if you're going to get the seed out, or if you're going to destroy that particular thing that's trying to choke out the rest of the crop. And so you learn these things, and this is the same thing we have. The number one rule for pulling up seeds is you must get the roots out, for if not, if they'll come back. Good seed cannot produce good fruit in such an atmosphere. Weeds will take over the good plants by using up all the nutrients in the soil, and the plants are left with nothing but chaos. And he said, Jesus said that as for seed that was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it proves unfruitful in verse 22, and that will draw one away from God. Many times it can start by sitting in the pew. I'm just telling you what the Lord said. I'm just saying it amazes me in studying the scripture rather than just reading it. Because God will help you put it together to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more to this saved, getting saved, than just going to heaven. And Jesus told these disciples that. Here, faith gets squeezed completely out. Everything is a ritual rather than a service type. Wrong beliefs take up the person's time and energy, just like the weeds steal the nutrients from the good plants. Some people do not focus on living for God, so they do not produce any spiritual fruit on their lives. So far, we have seen God give us three different types of seed sown. Some sown in three cases, and there is no result whatsoever, no lasting result that we could see. And he set these up in. Have you ever read that chapter and gone through it, dissected it, and looked at it verse and asked questions? As a matter of fact, the devil snatched away. He tells us in these three cases that the devil snatches away from the hardened ground. The heart of trouble or persecution caused the plant to wither and die. Or the cares of this world and the desires for wealth choke out the priority of God's word. This helps us to explain why there are so many empty pews in Bible-believing churches in these last days. No lack of zeal or fervor for the gospel-preaching churches today in America. So it looks like everywhere. I think about Brother Ron Hamilton. Hesper House. What keeps in that? Who that is, Raymond? Brother Ron, Hesper House. William, Ron Hammond's the guy, he's the one patched fired in it. I'll get them together in a minute. Sometimes I have some things clogged up and I have to get them out in the line to look at them. So he had in his magazine, though, recently, ladies and gentlemen, that he's amazed across this nation where churches thrive with preaching nothing but the gospel years ago and dying. And you're having to rise up other things that's literally talking in Jesus' name. But it's not giving the gospel concern about salvation in the sense that this is more than just throwing out some things to show a better life. And so here, this is what we see taking place at this time. God is telling us, the last thing in Matthew 13:8, that there are some seeds that have fallen good ground. Aren't you glad of that? Because I'll be honest with you, if I read what he said, the first three, 75%, if I look at 100% and four out of 100, 25 each, if I look at that, it seems, when I read the first three, it looks like it's hopeless. Right? Well, aren't you glad he gave the last one? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And that keeps you going. You may talk to 25, 30 people and not even get a thing in, but yet God will give you one. So sometimes they'll even come up and ask you. I've been places where I've been, you know, I said, Lord, I can't believe it. It's been weeks. I've tried to witness people, and they said, everybody turned on, and all of a sudden I'd be somewhere in the hospital, and somebody would say, you preacher, yes, could I ask you something? And God opened up out of a sudden, so I wasn't even thinking about it. I'm glad I'm prepared all the time. You better be prepared all the time to give an answer why I believe what I believe and be able to do that in a way that would honor the Lord. And so, oh, well, it's not lost. As we think of it, children of God, listen to me, please. There will be seesaw that will not be snatched away, that will not burn up, that will not choke out. We have Jesus' word. There will be seed that will take root, that will grow and produce a good crop of souls until Jesus comes back for his church. And I believe when the last soul in God's predetermined state is saved because they trust Christ, that's going to open the door. And he's waiting for that day. I believe even saints in heaven are waiting for that day. If they think anything about where they came from here and where they are there, you know what? They want us there with them. They want us there. If we would say, Lord, I wish they'd come out. No, they say, don't pray that. God don't answer that prayer. I don't want to go back down on that mess. And by this world is a mess, folks. There I said, they're longing for us to get there, arriving. I just this past week, 2 weeks ago, went back and back in 1996, I'm trying to get it all together. I'll let you know about it later. I found a tape that we did one night that I did a recitation and the choir sung on the biblical glimpse of glory. And I listened to it, and God touched my heart so bad, I got Glenn to put it together on a CD, and we took it over to Brother Mike in the studio. And did, over the last few days, we dubbed it up to get it where it would be presentable in the sense that we're... Back those days, we didn't have all the equipment we have now. But it is a tremendous blessing, 40-something minutes long. And I've listened to that thing 4 or 5 times this week. I'm amazed how God anoints things at the time you don't see it, and then later you see it. And it's an imaginary journey that I preached on that Sunday night. I was using myself of going to heaven and using the Bible as the criteria to walk through what I saw. I was not seen, it was not heard, but understand what the Scripture says, what I saw and what happened and what was going on. Of some that I knew in our church that's there now, others I did not use their name because I lost their loved ones. I put myself in their place. It was an imaginary journey. But the Bible was the steps we went through, and the choir sung songs after each one of these things. I'll tell you about it more later. But I see that what we see here, we have Jesus' word that there the seed will take root and grow and produce good crops of souls until Jesus comes back. The power is in the seed itself, the incorruptible word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. You know, it's an amazing thing. The power of the gospel, Paul says, not ashamed of. There's power in that gospel. There's power in this word. But you know, the gospel power nor the word power will manifest itself without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in us. He's not a power, though he's powerful. Hear me. He's not a force, though he's powerful. He's a human being. He has intelligence. He can talk to us if we talk to him, and this book will come to our heart when he talks to us because this is the word of God. He's a human being. He's the most powerful force we see on this earth today, and he lives in you and I. And he's the one that has to do everything. If we give the gospel, we have no power no more to do that. He helps us understand the information and reveal it to our heart that we might see the mysteries of God's kingdom and his church to be able to present it to a world if they'll listen. And he'll open their hearts to hear that message and also come in if they'll receive him as their personal savior. So we have Jesus. And we see take root. It's going to grow. It's going to produce good crop in some hearts. The power's in the seed itself, which is the Word of God. Again, God's Word is powerful, creative. It's affected. It's alive. It's active. And will penetrate into one's heart to produce repentance, to produce faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Sowing seed is not useless because it will work in the right ground. But you and I don't know where the ground's at. We just have to sow it. Sow it. But I tell you this, you're farming, you sow something somewhere or another and don't come up, you're going to do something to that ground before you sow any of those seed there, right? You're not going to waste your ground. You're not going to waste your time on ground that's not going to produce anything. So what do you do? You just keep sowing that seed everywhere you go and let God determine who responds to it becomes what they should become or not become. A good farmer knows just what kind of soil is needed as far as his crop is concerned. And he tries to pick it there and take advantage of that. He may try a lot of things, but he really takes advantage of that when someone at the sort receives and produces. And that's the same way. When somebody's eager to hear the Word of God, sometimes you go talk to someone, I have some people say, I'd just love to ask you questions. And they say, I've asked you so many now. I said, no, listen, when it comes to this book, I've got the whole time in the world, unless I'm sick. And I love this book, and I thank God for it through the years. The seed is the same everywhere, but the condition of the soil is different. But growth takes time. All seed planted produces different kinds of fruit in many ways. You may find some much fruit, some little fruit, some less fruit. God's fruit be the kingdom fruit, though. And that's where he gives us in the church, teachers, deacons, preachers, faithful members who tithe and faithful workers who work. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 talks about the inspiration of the scriptures. And what it does, and it said in verse 17 that the man of God, he does these things and proves these things, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as I conclude the message on this, we're God's seed sowers. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be despair when you go to sow seed and get discouraged. All is not lost. Sowing the seed is not useless. Christ has been in his church and he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It never prevailed against it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Christ has sent us on this mission through the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we feel like that we are spinning our wheels, are not going anywhere, that nobody is listening, nobody is responding. But Jesus Christ has not abandoned the church, nor removed it from the earth yet. Therefore, there is a ground that it will sow in. There is a good ground that when that seed hits will be warm and soft and be able to do what it needs to do to germinate, because it has to go down in us before it can come up out of us, just like a seed in the ground. It'll start roots first before you ever see it break through the soil. I've been with my dad many times out in the field, and he'd reach down a little plant and he'd dig around and he'd done that and see how it was doing. See the roots down inside? Well, that's in an amazing God. We use a metaphor that we can understand to show us something we can't understand without the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And we see Christ has sent us on this mission. And in this time, there's not a greater activity going on in this world today than the sowing of the gospel seed of Jesus Christ. This world needs it. Jesus and God will bless it, and the Holy Spirit will help you give it if we will yield to him. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. In Revelation 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verse 29, chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, verse 22. What I'm saying to close there is a power in the gospel seed when it's sown in fertile ground. We may sow a lot, and 75% not to anything, or if it did, a different type of thing. Stony ground, hard ground, something would be catch away, the sun would destroy it. It may be choked out, so forth. But in good, fertile ground, this gospel seed will produce a harvest. There is nothing wrong with the seed. There is nothing wrong with God's seed. It's where it goes. And we can afford not to sow it just because we see a lot turning it down. So I'm asking you to ask God to help us. Please join us and help us get the gospel seed out. For he has ordained that we are the ones he uses to give the gospel out. Stand to your feet, Father. Lord, we need to understand more than just getting saved. I realize that many will hear what the Bible says. I found a long time ago, Lord, opinions ain't worth 2 cents unless it's Word of God. And boy, you can't read Matthew 13 or the other chapters that had to do with this sowing seed. Because not only did Christ give us that attitude of the ground, but he told us what it meant spiritually in our lives. And now there's people nowadays teaching that seed covers over. And the only thing they teach about is sowing seed financially to gain financially. But a lot of that falls on stony ground or by the wayside. Or it's choked up because they can't grasp those things that they thought that seed would bring them in finances, in wealth. Heavenly Father, we know that you and the Holy, your Son sent your Spirit. Jesus told us why he would come. There's a lot of mechanics we don't know about how it works, but the fact you promised us the day that we asked Christ to come in our heart, you would give us the Holy Spirit of God. That's the power of God. He thinks, and he thinks only through this precious book. He inspired this book for our mind. And in the quietness of the hours, I read this book and ask for the understanding, not to hide it in my heart to do nothing, but that it might move me to do what I need to do in my latter days on this earth, that I would hear the voice of God through the Word. Lord, I know you hear our prayer when we come to you and pray in Jesus' name. You teach us to come very boldly right to the very throne of grace and make our petition to you. We have access because of that precious blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. But our Father, when we come to you, help us not to leave because we're asking for things only that had to do with promote us in this life. But we're asking as you bless us in this life, those things are not going to choke you out, Lord. I'm going to still try to be that vessel that I can learn more about you and let the Holy Spirit, who is the power in me, use me to let the light of Christ shine through words. Where I find problems with certain things, study them that I might be able to be the vessel in God's hand. Lord, this church ends this year in just a few hours, a new year ahead of us. Only you see the end for beginning. But I know this. If we lose sight of souls, this church will burst to the place that it have Ichabod written on the door one day, even though we may have services here that cater to the flesh. Never let us forget where you brought us from and what you've done for us. And may it be so real in our heart and life that we stand and tell people out of love, not argument, not to be harassed, but out of love, how much Jesus loves them. They're hurting too, Lord, in maybe a different way. We've seen a lot of that in our ministry. But people are hurting, looking answers. And sometimes just ask to read the Word of God would bring joy to the heart in adverse circumstances. Lord, let these doors be a place where there's no fear, no disruption, that our hearts may hear and see and feel the destiny that God has us in getting the gospel out these last days. Help bless this new thing we're going to try a few weeks from now as we get over this trial run. And Lord, may this be a way we can get the gospel in homes and yet go back later verbally and talk. And we're going to thank you for it. If one here today is not saved, please let them see how much you love them. And let them see that there are maybe a few, but there are those who love you enough to want to see them saved and would do anything, Lord, anything at all that would offend them, change it because of their love for you. If there's one here today or on radio, others, you stream does not say, let them see how much you love them, because those who love you because Christ loved us and saved us shows our love for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.